This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabiyyin al-Mustafa. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد. Come to the next hadith, inshallah, from the book 40 Hadith of the Islamic Personality. And the next hadith, again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is mentioning an issue that, again, it passes most people. And the proof of that is what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith. And the hadith is collected by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. And it is a hadith that is ma'ruf, mashhur. Many people heard about it, but taking advantage of doing the opposite of what the hadith is saying is the real challenge. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, ni'matan maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas. There are two blessings, two ni'mas, ni'matan, two blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to the people, but many of the people are losers in these two ni'mas. Many people will have khasara and nadam. They will lose, not profit from. They will be saddened, disappointed as it relates to these two favors. He said the first ni'mah that Allah bestows upon the people is the ni'mah of having good health. And the second one is the ni'mah of having free time. Ni'matan maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas. As it relates to the ni'mah, the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal, there are many. As he mentioned in the Quran, وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِن تُعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Allah has given you people from everything that you asked him for. And if you were to try to count and enumerate and number the favors of Allah, never would you be able to do so. There are many. So we have to know as Muslims that everybody here, regardless of the problems that you have in your life, everything is not perfect. Nonetheless, you have a lot of favors that Allah has given you. And in our religion, we have a minhaj ilahi. We have a minhaj that Allah has given us as it relates to the ni'mah. Things to do, things not to do, things to be aware of, things that you can't sleep on. And this is really important, especially now during this time. Whereas we mentioned so many times, normative Islam is under attack. You have to be a Muslim who believes and realizes al-Islam yatahakkumu fika fi kulli shay. Al-Islam is going to determine and dictate everything about you as a Muslim. So everything, sitting the way you're sitting and all of that, al-Islam has to govern all of that. We have some Muslims who don't understand that. And I don't make takfir of them and say that they're not Muslims and excommunicate them, but something's wrong with your Islam and something is wrong with your iman. A Muslim is the individual who understands that his life, his death is for Allah and from Allah, his movements, harakatuhu, his movements, as well as his being still is from Allah. He's quiet because the religion told him, be quiet right now because you don't know what you're talking about. Be quiet right now because you're sitting in Salatul Jummah. Everything about the Muslims. As I said, there are those people who, with the challenges that are facing our community right now, for an example, sex education, that is going to be made compulsory upon our children, whether they go to Muslim school, Islamic school, non-Islamic schools, state run schools. I'm a teacher. I'm a head. I'm the principal. I have something to do with that school. I have to understand, as a Muslim, I have to take a position for or against things based upon Islam. I don't take positions against Islam, against the Muslims, based upon what men are saying and what men are deciding. So we have a lot of liberal Muslims, secular Muslims, ignorant Muslims who cannot conceive al-Islam has to govern your life. Al-Islam yu'la wala al-Islam ya'la wala yu'la alayhi. Islam is uppermost. Islam is uppermost, and nothing goes over Islam. Not your mind, not your culture, not your government, not your country, not your mother, not your father. Islam is uppermost. That doesn't mean that as Muslims we can't exist in societies that don't judge by the book of Allah. It doesn't mean that. And it doesn't mean that I'm sitting here encouraging you, advising you to go crazy and fall into antisocial behavior and to become a person who is majnoon, where you start behaving with people in the society, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, in a way that is not sanctioned. What you're doing is not right. You're on another extreme. And your extreme may be just as bad as the liberal Muslim. Your extreme is just as bad as the secular Muslim. Even worse, because at least those people are not claiming anything in the name of the deen. Whereas you think that what you're saying and doing and feeling is sanctioned by the deen. And the situation, laysa kadhalik. It's not like that. So this issue of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every single person here has been given a lot of favors from Allah, and therefore, as a Muslim, as you exist, we have to learn what did Islam say about how I have to view these ni'mas. So in this particular hadith, two are mentioned, and there are many, many, many. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. There is no ni'mah that you people have except it came to you as a result of Allah. So don't take credit for the ni'mah that you had. You graduated, alhamdulillah, first and foremost, all praises to Allah, due to Allah. And then the role that your parents played in that, and so forth and so on. But the human being should never look and focus on himself and say, me, 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 I did it. No. We praise Allah and we thank Allah for all of the favors that he's given us. As it relates to this particular hadith, there are two that he mentioned from the many favors of Allah. And that is the ni'mah of having good health and the ni'mah of being free. There's a hadith where the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ikhtanim khamsan qabla khamsin. Take advantage of five things before five things happen. Take advantage of five things and don't let them pass you by before five things happen. Shababaka qabl haramak. Take advantage of your youth before you become old. See now. You start talking gibberish. You can't remember the names of the people who are the closest people to you. So take advantage while you're young right now. Number two, take advantage of your health before you become sick. Anything can happen to anybody. I was watching on social media where my mother lives or close to where she lives on the highway, the motorway. There was a Brinks truck. They carry and transport money from one bank to another bank, from one place to another bank place. Somehow the door flew open and all the money fell out on the motorway. So you can imagine how the people behaved when they jumped out of their cars and they went after that money. And there were accidents on the car and people got ran over. Some of them, there were some fatalities, and some of them, they were severely injured. When they woke up that morning, they didn't think that the end of the day was going to be like that. So today you're walking, tomorrow morning you're handicapped. May Allah Azza wa Jal, and that's not politically correct. You now have special needs. You can't walk. Something has happened to you. And it doesn't always have to be a person putting himself in harm's way. Anything can happen at any moment. Anything can happen at any moment. So take advantage of your good health before you get in a situation where you have bad health. Well, take advantage of your ghinak, having money, before you become impoverished or you don't have money. You can't give. You don't necessarily have to be so poor that you're in the dirt and you can't even afford a slice of bread. It doesn't mean that. But right now, If you have 100 pounds, 200 pounds, 50 pounds, then give some of that in sadaqah. Use some of that in order to help you and those who are around you. Like that hadith said we dealt with earlier about those people who is permissible to have ghibta or hasad concerning them. A person that Allah gave him wealth and he spent it in the right way on his family, on his ashab, on his astiqa, on his qara', his relatives. So take advantage of having wealth before you don't have wealth. The fourth thing he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is take advantage of your free time before you don't have any free time, like this hadith. So two of the things were mentioned in this hadith: take advantage of your wealth, your health before you become sick, take advantage of your free time before you become busy. And the last thing, take advantage of your life before you die. Take advantage of your life before you die. The individual who looks at this hadith, he'll realize these are two of the greatest favors of Allah Azza wa Jalla that he can bestow on people after al-Iman and al-Islam. Greatest ni'mah. One of the greatest ni'mahs after all of that is having good health. Because once you lose it, you don't realize the quality, you don't realize the importance of it. And that's why I want to mention now, those of you who should be taking medicines, stop neglecting taking your medicine. They gave you that medicine, and I believe that the pharmaceutical companies, they be hustling, and they make a lot of money. But nonetheless, if you've been told to take medicine by your doctor knows what they're talking about, you have high blood pressure, you better take that medicine. It's not acceptable how irresponsible we are as an ummah in terms of our diet and in terms of our unhealthy lifestyles, lack of exercise, and also this issue with medicine. People are fasting when they shouldn't be fasting. People are performing hajj when they shouldn't even be performing hajj. They are heavy on themselves and heavy on other people. But as it relates to medicine, Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنَ التَّهْلُكَ. Don't destroy yourselves with your own hands. You have to go to the doctor. This cat hasn't been to the doctor in 60 years. He's 55 years old, never went to the doctor. Why? Because in our culture, in our thinking, I'm a man, I don't go. Man, you better go to the doctor and get checked. Because that cancer, may Allah protect all of us from it. That cancer doesn't discriminate. It's not messing around these days. And with what we're eating and the way we're living, we have compounded problems in this society that we're living in. With the pollution, with the stuff that we're putting in our bodies. They did. The WHO, World Health Organization, they did. Or they set up a group of people to do medical tests on something like 400 people to see how many of the people had plastic in their bodies, stuff made out of plastic. All 400 people had stuff from plastic in their bodies. And that's because of what they put on the apples and other than that, things that were eaten. So health after al-Iman is probably the greatest ni'mah, because you may have a beautiful wife who's your soulmate, and you guys have insijam, total, complete harmony. I mean, she's your girl, and she gave you babies, and that's a ni'mah, big ni'mah. But if your health is not well, you won't appreciate that life. You won't appreciate that life. So he mentioned those two things, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being free and having good health. There's a person who has good health, but he's not free because he's working. He has to work actually like a horse or like a donkey, akramakum Allah, 24/7 he has to work. I know someone I met, a person from my community, who the husband has a takeaway and she's helping her husband and she wants to practice the religion, but she has to help her husband. So it's not easy. That's because they have to work every single day, 18 to 20 hours a day. Yawmul Qiyamah, I can't speak and I can't judge. But when we stand before Allah Azza wa Jalla and he starts to ask questions, why you do this, why you do that, why you didn't wear hijab, why you didn't pray, things like that. And Allah is the one who knows the best, and he's the best judge, and he's merciful, he's just, and all of that stuff. But still, you have to practice your religion. But a person can have a vocation. He can have a career that is toxic. It's not good for him. You're killing yourself to make money. So some people have good health, but they are not free. And some people are free, but they don't have good health. He's free. He's not working. He is free, but he can't do anything because he is sick. Something's wrong. The person who combined both of these things, good health and free time, he's in a tremendous ni'mah. He has to take advantage of them. He has to take advantage of them. So the Nabi of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brought us a religion, as I told you, has a minhaj. From the minhaj of al-Islam as it relates to the ni'mah, is the way we thank Allah for the ni'mah is with our tongues, by giving shukr. And also we thank Allah Azza wa Jalla with the ni'mah by exposing the people to these ni'mahs, as the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Allah Azza wa Jalla bestows something on someone, he loves to see the ni'mah that he gave that person. So we dress nice on Friday. We dress nice on the day of the Eid, the day you get married, things like that. Islam is not against that. Islam is not against you having a nice car, having nice furniture, having a nice house, having nice shoes. Islam is not against that. Just you have to do it the right way. And when you acquire these things, you give the shukr of them, meaning you behave with them and in them in a correct way. In a correct way. From the name of Allah to know that they're a lot. You can't count them. You can't enumerate them. You cannot. And we have to remember them. That's why we'll find, ikhwani, in the Quran, many ayat, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkuru ni'matullahi alaykum. Oh, you who believe, remember and bring to mind the favors of Allah upon you. And there are many ayat that's mentioned. Udhkuru ni'matullahi alaykum. وَمِثَاقُهُ الَّذِي وَاثَقَكُمْ بِهِ قُلْتُمْ سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Remember the favors of Allah upon you when he took a contract from you and you people accepted the contract and you said, we hear and we obey. We hear and we obey. Many ayat like that. Many. اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءَ فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Remember the favors of Allah upon you when you used to be enemies one to another. And Allah joined your hearts together and you became brothers one to another and you were on the brink of falling into the hellfire. فَانْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. And Allah saved you guys from that. Ni'mah. So the point is, many, many ayat of the Quran, not one, not two, not three, not five, not seven, many ayat of the Quran are saying, اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the ni'mah of Allah upon you. So that's part of the minhaj of al-Islam. Not to disregard or dismiss the ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal. Also, from the minhaj of al-Islam, how to deal with these many favors is that the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at those people who are below you and don't look at those people who are above you. When you do that, that will cause you to appreciate the ni'mah that Allah bestowed upon you. So look at those people below you. Below you meaning what? They have more problems than you. They have less to deal with, resources than you. So how can we, from the ayat of Allah during this time, some things are very negative, but as the ayat said, it may be that you hate something that is good for you. So I think there's good in everything. Even in the shaitan al-rajim, he taught Abu Huraira ayatul kursi. So understand the context. Don't take my words out of the context that I mean. The broken clock is right two times every day. It's benefiting everything. Donald Trump being the president, there's benefit in that. The far right becoming known, there's benefit in that. أَسَنْ تَكْرُهُ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It may be that you hate something that's better for you. Some good in that stuff. It's some good in that. The khamr, as well as gambling. In it is benefit and in it is harm. And the harm outweighs the benefit. The harm outweighs the benefit. The point I want to point to is what's going on in Syria, what's going on in Palestine, what's going on in Yemen, what's going on in Kashmir and other parts of the Muslim world where Muslims are being persecuted. That helps us to do what? To say, but for the grace of Allah and the rahmah of Allah, go I. That could have been me. That could have been you. So look at those people who are below you so that you will be more appreciative of what Allah gave you. As opposed to looking at the person that Allah has given him more than what he's given you. And this society, again, ikhwani, is corrupt. It's corrupt. Because not only are we eating bad, we're breathing bad, we're drinking bad, our lifestyle is bad. The way they're controlling us, big problem. Al-Islam tells us to be free thinkers, not liberal thinkers, no reins to pull you in, say and think and believe what you want. No. But you don't determine for me what's happiness, and you don't determine for me what's strength, and you don't determine for me what's right and what's wrong. That comes to me from a source, a mishkat, that is ilahiyya, is divine. It's from Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So as it relates to all of these issues, we have a lot of favors, ikhwani, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon us. So we have to take care of them. And from them are these two. Concerning these two favors in al-Islam, the ni'mah of health, just having good health, is mentioned in the Quran over and over and over again. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. Allah puts forth the question reminding Bani Adam, did we not give him two eyes so that he can see? And did we not give him a tongue and two lips so that he can talk and let people know what's inside of him and how he's feeling? Have we not given him these things? And we also guided him to the Najdain. We taught him the right from the wrong because he has this intellect, he has this ability to see. I saw with my own eyes the relics of Fir'aun. And now Fir'aun is wiped off of the face of the earth and he's going to be punished. So I saw with my own eyes what not to do and who not to be like. I heard with my own ears the ayat of the Quran, people giving dawah, things guiding you to the right way. So because of all of that, you were able to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. You're able to read the Quran and make salat. You're able to do all of these things. So Allah mentions many ayat of the Quran and the Prophet as well, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it relates to this issue. He said that every day Adam's son wakes up, he has to give sadaqah for all of the joints in his body, 360 joints in his body. You know, your finger has joints, your wrist has joints, your elbow, shoulder, 360 joints in this body. Every joint has to give sadaqah, has to give sadaqah for the shukr of the ni'mah. How do you give sadaqah? By giving a dars, by coming to the dars, by giving salams to people. When you see things wrong, you stop it, you advise, you encourage people to do the right thing. You say nice things to your family members, your wife. You give sadaqah on your joints by telling your family members, I love you, wallahi. You give sadaqah, saying that to your mother, saying that to your father. So he went on to say all of the things that are sadaqah. He said, and what will take care of all of that is two rak'ats that a person prays for salatul duha. Two rak'ats. 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock, right before dhuhr, person prayed two rak'at, he made sadaqah and he gave shukr for the ni'mah of his siha. When's the last time one of us made two rak'at of salatul duha? The last time. No, it's not part of the repertoire of how we exist as Muslims, just as it's not part of the repertoire how we exist as Muslims to read the Quran every day, to have a portion of the Quran that we're reading every day. Part of a person being a real Muslim, certain things stamped right there, show you a real Muslim. Part of being a real Muslim is, hey, you got to pray every day, man. You can't pray sometimes. You have to pray every day. To be a real Muslim, stamp of approval, showing you a real Muslim. Real Muslims have some connection with the book of Allah. Not just in the salat, but reading the Quran, just taking a time out, reading the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf at least, during the week. Our community has an affinity and this connection. I don't know where it comes from. Probably the weak hadith, fabricated hadith, have something to do with it, where all of these things cause us to love Surah Yasin. Everything has a heart, and the heart of the Quran is Yasin. It's fabricated hadith. The Quran doesn't have a heart. Yasin is whatever you want to read it for. So if you want a job, read Yasin. You want to pass the exam, read Yasin. You want a yes from the potential family you're trying to marry into, read Yasin. Fabricated hadith is not true. I don't know what our fascination and affinity is with the surah, but many of us have memorized it. Many of us know it. So my point is, read Yasin. Get the Quran, the Mus'haf, and read it. Read Ar-Rahman and those ayat and those surah that you know. Because as I mentioned, if a lot of time goes by, and a person is not reading the Quran, it's a sign and indication, it's a problem. And that's why Allah spoke the truth, as He always does, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Furqan. One of the signs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Nabi and the Rasul who was sent with the truth, is that Allah said that He will say, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُرًا. And the messenger will complain and say, oh my Lord, my ummah has abandoned this Quran. Abandoning the Quran is, they don't learn it. They didn't sit down to learn it from someone. That's the truth with the majority of the people. They don't read it. They don't listen to it, which was a sunnah. He said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, read the Quran. He said, should I read it on you, Ya Rasulullah? It was revealed on you. He said, I love to hear it from other than me. So he started reading Surah An-Nisa. So listening to the Quran. The jinn became Muslims when they heard the Quran. Kuffar became Muslims when they heard the Quran. And in this life that we're living right now, Ikhwani, is a lot of mental illnesses going on. Some severe, some mild and moderate. Some people have some serious issues, but most people have mental illnesses. And that's what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he described the time, he said it's going to be a time when the Muslims are going to fight each other. The companion said, and will we have our intellect on that day, Ya Rasulullah? Will we have our uqul? He said, tunzi'u uqulu akthara min fi dhalika zaman. Most of the people during that time, their brains, their minds will be taken away. And they will only remain in that time, most of the people will be riffraff, miscreants. That's what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why do I mention that? What's the connection? Listening to the Quran, reading the Quran brings down sakina. Too many hadith. The class is not about that. I'm just trying to say to you, this is a dalil that the Nabi was from Allah Azza wa Jal. Because how could that be mentioned in the Quran over 1400 years ago? And it's telling the reality of us sitting here right now. That the Prophet will complain, my people have abandoned the Quran. Any group of Muslims in any given space, at any given time, collectively, you go around. Did you read the Quran today? Just the Mus'haf? Listen to the Quran today? Most of the people are going to say no. How did the Prophet know that way back then? Because he's sent by Allah Azza wa Jal. Sent by Allah. So my point here, Ikhwani, fillah Azza wa Jal, the issue about as-sihha fil Quran and the Sunnah is something that was mentioned too many times by Allah Azza wa Jal and His Prophet. He mentioned in the Quran, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah is the one who has made you people. He fashioned you and He blessed you and He gave you the ability to see and the ability to hear. And He gave you hearts to reflect and have intellect. Drive a car, get a degree, have a career, take care of your affairs and navigate. He gave you all of that. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. In the hopes that you will give shukr. So as it relates to your health, as I mentioned in this masjid a number of times, the believer who is strong is better, more beloved to Allah than the believer who is weak. We have to work out. We have to do better with our health. We have to stay away from those steroids. We don't condone working out with steroids and those steroids that are unsupervised, because sometimes medically, people are administered steroids under the supervision of a doctor. But I'm not talking about the local gym in Birmingham. where we're going working out and shooting steroids all over the place in the back room. I'm not talking about that. That goes against this hadith. This hadith is talking against that. That you're destroying yourself. Two ni'mas. Many people are losers in it. One of them is your health. That person was working out, taking steroids, unsupervised, just craziness. Give me some creatine from the black market. Give me some steroids from Romania. Give me some of this and some of that. And give me some Red Bull, and I'm going to be the biggest guy in Alum Rock Road. And I think that's something to be proud about. No, this hadith is talking against that. So, ikhwati fillah, let us pay attention to the issue, as the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from those many statements, من أصبح منكم آمنا في سربه معافا في جسده وعند قوت يومه فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا بحذافيرها. Anybody from amongst you who woke up in the morning, like this morning, like tomorrow morning, inshallah, anyone who wakes up in the morning, he comes back to life, and Allah gave him life, and he woke up, and he has security where he lives, and he woke up, and he has good health, and he woke up, and he had enough to eat, just enough to eat that day, is as if he has been given the reins of the dunya and everything that's in the dunya. You know, like the horse or the camel, when you ride him, that's the reins. He's in control of the dunya. And that's because he has those essentials as a part of his life. He has safety and security. If you don't have safety and security, you're in trouble. Like in Palestine, where they could just come and bulldoze your house over just like that. In 1 minute, your house is there, next minute it's gone. But don't travel too far. Don't go to Palestine. Don't go to Iraq. Don't go to Syria. Right here in Birmingham. Some people don't have security. And that, she's married to a husband who has the mentality of a pit bull, a bulldog. He beats her up. He's rough. He's tough. The mother, the father, they're beating down. The husband's wife is being bullied and beat up by her husband's relatives. So every time the husband goes to work, she's in the living hell. She doesn't have safety. She doesn't have security. There are people being bullied. I'm sure you guys know. And I would advise you to do this, to say to your kids, anybody bully you today? We have to do that today. Sit down with your kids and say to them, anybody touch you inappropriately today? They put this prevent on us. Prevent. We have to always be on the defensive, afraid. You better start asking your kids, did that teacher bully you today? How did they deal with you? Not looking for trouble, but just taking care of the mas'uliyah, the responsibility that we talked about a long time ago. We're responsible. So people are being bullied to the point where the child committed suicide. Because going to school is an experience that makes the child mortified, petrified, terrified to go to school because they don't fit in, they're going to be picked on. Like what happened to our little Syrian brother a few days ago, a week or two ago. That brother like that. He shouldn't have to deal with that. He's right here in the UK, going to school, get educated, and his person is under threat. And the second part of the hadith said that the person has good health, safe and secure, good health, and he had enough to eat. That means for you young brothers, and you're building your careers right now, let's kill these excuses about the white man. They don't like black people. It's racism. Yep, all of that is there. But if you have security and safety, and you have enough to eat, and you have good health, get out there and make something of yourself. And stop relying on these so many excuses, a lot of excuses. Some of them are real, some of them are fake. They're not real. But even those that are real, we have examples in our book, that Quran, where we saw people were facing what appeared to be insurmountable obstacles and challenges. But when Allah is on your side, فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ, if Allah is on your side, nobody can defeat you. You'll take a fall here, you take a fall there. Like the Prophet lost some wars, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet lost some teeth, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet was wounded and lost some blood, and he lost companions who died. That happened. Life is not a walk in the park. It's jihad. It's a struggle. My point is, listen to this hadith. Anybody who wakes up in the morning and Allah gave him safety and security and Allah gave him good health and he had enough to eat, it is as if he's been given the reins of the dunya. So I may be suffering right now from marital issues. My wife, I'm separated from my wife, and it's affecting me, and it's tough. We have some serious challenges. But you have these three things. And those three things should help you to put all that other stuff in perspective. As long as you're not on the other side of this earth, you have a chance. As it relates to the other issue, ikhwani, and a lot could be said about the siha, a lot. لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة من عند ربه حتى يسأل الأربع. The slave, his feet are not going to move يوم القيامة from in front of Allah. He's going to be standing there and Allah is there judging him. His feet won't move until Allah asks him about four things. And from what he will be asked about is his life, his youth, how he spent his life. What did he do with his time? He's going to have to be asked about. Look, Al-Imam al-Shafi from the Salaf. Al-Imam al-Shafi from the Salaf was what they used to call a hakim. And that was the doctor, the tabib. And he used to talk about health all the time. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, wrote his book, At-Tib al-Nabawi, The Prophetic Medicines. He wrote that book to educate the community about how to maintain good health. How to maintain good health. I was reading the hadith the other day where the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eat from the gum or the milk of the cow. Because the cow eats from every single plant. So those plants are going to benefit that cow, which will benefit you normally. Now the pasteurized milk and all of what they do with the milk is a problem. But the Nabi told us so many things about different fruit, different vegetables, different meats. Don't eat a lot of cow meat, he used to tell the people, and it is poison. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He used to like the shoulder. In that shoulder is some benefit of the animal. For some reason, he liked that shoulder. And as Allah described him, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak based upon just his desires. He speaks based upon revelation that came to him. Now, granted, he did some things just because as a human being, he just did those things. He liked the qara. It's like a pumpkin. He liked the pumpkin. He liked that. It was his favorite meal. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud used to eat the pumpkin. He said, I really don't like the pumpkin myself. But the Prophet used to eat the pumpkin and he liked it, so I eat it. So I can't say in everything he ate there was some benefit. It was just the food of his people. But there were things where he gave divine instructions. Eat this, eat that, drink this, drink that, and so forth and so on. When people are sick, he said, don't force your sick people to eat or to drink. Don't force them to do what they don't want to do. Because part of their convalescence is mental. You have to make them comfortable mentally. So we can't go to them and visit them 25, 35 people. Everybody want to go visit Sheikh Haytham al-Haddad. We 50 people at the same time. And we're going to stay there for 2 hours. No, you're making a person more sicker. So our religion taught us everything that we need to know. Wallahi, everything that we need to know. Everything. As it relates to the issue, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Abu Huraira mentioned, he said, radiyallahu anhu, that he heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna awwala ma yus'alu anhu yawmul qiyamatu al-abdu min al-na'im an yuqal, alam nusihha laka jismaka wa nurwiyaka min al-mal barid. The very first thing that Allah is going to ask the people, Yawmul Qiyamah, as it relates to the Na'im. Because there's a hadith that says the first thing that Allah is going to ask you about is what? Salat. That's the first question. But as it relates to the Na'im, what you've been given, the Na'im, He said the very first thing the person will be asked, Yom al-Qiyamah, about the Na'im is it's going to be said to him, didn't I give you good health? And didn't I give you cold water to drink? And you have to answer that. Yes, not only did you give me good health and you gave me cold water to drink, you also gave me children and you gave me a job and you gave me this and you gave me a slam. You gave me. You have to be accountable for all of that. Cold water to drink. How is it that the Muslim eats without saying Bismillah, finishes eating and didn't learn the dua yet? And even if he doesn't know the dua, just say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. But that's how it is. That's how it is. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the ability and the wherewithal to be the dhakirin Allah and the dhakirat. Those people remember Allah. And he gives us the tawfiq just to be people who are doing the basics. And we pray to Allah to protect us from having ghurur, being fooled by what we're doing. And we actually think we're doing a lot. Because we compare ourselves with other people maybe. We look at other people and they're not doing this and they're not doing that and they're not doing this and they're not doing that. No. Everybody has to be worried on his for his own self. As it relates to time, I recall the statement of Imam al-Shafi who said, Sahabtu Ahl al-Tasawwuf. He said, I was with the people of Sufism. I went with them. I spent some time with them. He said, the only benefit that I ever got from them is the statement, the time is like a sword. If you don't cut it, it's going to cut you. Al-waq kasif. Time. Like right now, we prayed, now it's 9 o'clock. These seconds will never come back. So you have to spend the time where it's going to come back for you and benefit you. Like we're doing, inshallah. He said, those Sufi people never benefited me. The only benefit I got, they said some hikmah. Time is like a sword. If you don't cut it, it's going to cut you. Meaning, if you don't take advantage of it, you're going to have a problem. And that's why as it relates to time, Allah Azza wa Jal, in the surah that everybody memorized, Surah Al-Asr, everybody memorized that. He swore by the Asr, time itself, time. All of mankind are in a state of lost. All of them. By time. All of them. Except those who believe and do righteous deeds and they mutually encourage other, be patient. They mutually encourage each other, stay on the haq. They mutually say, Isbir ya akhi. It's only the first week. Then the Nabi tell us when the problem happens, the musibah, some big thing happens. He said, "Innama as-sabru 'inda sidmatul ula." The time to be patient is when the thing first happens. Slow down. Don't have a knee-jerk reaction and respond to the thing. Take it easy. Get your wits about yourself. Let the dust settle. And then you'll be in a position to see things for their reality. So Allah swore by time. Everybody is in a state of loss. He also, subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioned in our religion in the sunnah, the importance of time, ikhwani, as Muslims. This shouldn't be something Muslims are negligent about. Our religion is about the mawaqit. The mawaqit and the tawqit, the tawqitat. You know, time, being punctual, doing things at the proper time. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitabin mawquta. The salats have been prescribed at specific times. You have to get up to make fajr at this time. Dhuhr, asr, al-maghrib, isha. That's Muslim. The four arkan of Islam that you do actions. Salah, zakat, sawm, hajj. It's all about al-madrasa of time. Appreciating time. So I don't know what it is other than our culture. African Americans, black people, Africans, Arabs, Asians. This is how we are. Not only us, we don't have a monopoly on it. Some white people like that as well. I don't like to be of those people always put us down and them up. I don't suffer from inferiority complexes, and nor do I suffer from that superiority complex as well. I'm better than everybody. No, gotta be in the middle. But what is it about Muslims where cleanliness is a part of our deen? He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at-tuhur shatrul iman. Cleanliness is half of iman. half. I gave a lecture the other day at a university. When I went to the university, they brought me to their room just to hang out. When I was in the room and I was seeing how the Shabab were living, I had to make mention. I felt sorry for them. As Shafiq, I felt sorry, but at the same time, although when you were home, your mother did everything, cooked, cleaned everything for you, there's a certain level of cleanliness that you all have to have. You have to clean yourself. You have to clean your clothes. You can't have a pillow that's black with soot and dirt. At some point, your fitrah has to say, la, la, la. Cleanliness is from our religion. And being on time is from our religion. But before we start the lecture, we got to give everybody 15 extra minutes. Because we're going to come in late. I said, no, I'm starting right now so that we could teach the people. They said, no, that's not going to teach the people because that's just the culture. That's just the culture, and I had to accept that. That's just the culture. Plus, we wanted more people to benefit, so we had to wait. But what is it about us? We're not people who are really sticklers for be on time to the best of your ability. The zakat. You got to pay your zakat at a particular time. You can't wait for 3 years to pay zakat. You have to pay zakat every year. If you have the right amount of money and it stay with you for a year, you got to pay your zakat. Can't pay 1 year in Ramadan, another year in Dhul Hijjah, another year in Muharram as you want. Time. The Ramadan, the time we fast. Now, when it comes to Ramadan now, when it's Maghrib time and it's time to break the fast, everybody is on time then. Everybody is on time for the most part. But due to ignorance, even at that time, there are some people who are not on time because some people want to engage in making dua. And the muezzin is making the adhan. And the Prophet said, no, hurry up and break your fast. As soon as the thing is done, break your fast right away. The point here, Ikhwani, is our religion is telling us time is critical and crucial in our lives. The Hajj. You have to be an Arafat from one point to another point. If you miss Arafat and you didn't get there and the people left after Maghrib for Muzdalifah, you missed it. You done. You missed your Hajj. You jammed up your program. So as it relates to the hadith, time being free, we have to take advantage of the time that Allah has given us and the opportunities that has given us. And this is what this hadith of the Prophet was saying. And the last hadith that I want to share with you is a tremendous hadith to show you the importance of taking advantage of your time. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا قَامَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَفِي يَدِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَصِيلًا فَلْيَغْرِسْهَا. If Yawm al-Qiyamah starts right now, the horn is blown and stuff start happening. He said, and one of you has in your hand a seed, fasila, something you can plant and it grows. Apple, orange, okra, whatever it is. If it's Yawm al-Qiyamah and you happen to have a seed that can grow after being planted. He said, if it's in your hand, hurry up and plant it. Hurry up and do good for yourself. No matter how insignificant or irrelevant it may appear to the naked eye. It's one benefit. From the benefit of this hadith, take advantage of the time. Take advantage of the time. And that's why we had this salaf of this ummah when they were dying. When they were dying. They would tell their eldest son, their brother, the one who was the most respected in the assembly, they would tell him, get so-and-so out of here. Get him out of here. I'm dying. I want the last thing I'm saying is the last thing that comes out of my mouth, la ilaha illallah. But he's talking about Liverpool won 1-0 the other day, and I was in the executive suite, and it was really nice. How was that? It ain't the time to talk about that. This man is dying. And I've seen that with my own eyes. I've seen it at the graveyard when we're about to bury the people. People on their mobiles talking. People are giggling, making jokes, fun. We acting as if it's a time to play. The ayah said, Al-haakumu takathur hatta zurtumun maqabir. At-takathur means trying to accumulate wealth. The process of trying to make money has made you people negligent until death comes to you. One way of understanding that ayat is when death comes to you, you realize the reality of trying to accumulate money. That's one meaning. The other meaning is gathering wealth, the dunya playing around, it has caused you to be negligent. Even at the time of death, at the grave, even at that time, you're still playing around, joking around, messing about. It's a serious situation, ikhwani. And we just got to be balanced. We have to be balanced. We have to know how to be people who are going to be in this dunya as people who are having ubudiyah, servitude to Allah. But while having servitude, we know how to have recreation and enjoy and hang out. But we haven't been placed here to mess about. So take care of what you have in terms of free time and good health. Make jihad in those issues. Like the salaf of this ummah. There's a sheikh. He wrote a book called Qima to Zaman in the Salaf. How important the time was to the Salaf. And he brought all of these narrations. That's a PDF book. You can get it. Abdul Fattah, Abu Ghudda. I don't support the man's aqidah. Abdul Fattah, Abu Ghudda. He was one of the real... He had animosity with Sheikh Al-Albani and people of the Sunnah and things like that. But you can't take away from him. He was a scholar of hadith. No doubt about that. And no doubt. And he died. Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And that book is a beneficial book. Anybody says, I'm not going to get that book because he was Hanafi muta'assab. Come on, what are you talking about? I told you guys, there is good, some good in everything. Does that mean we go and sit with innovators and try to learn from innovators? Does that mean you go and marry a lady who's not a Muslim or a misbehaved Muslim girl? No, there's a context. So let's avoid the ghulu. We're only going to take from two or three sheikhs. We're only going to take from the sheikhs of Saudi Arabia. That's it. Get out of here with that nonsense. That's nonsense. You're going to put everybody in a cup like that? We say, no, that's not our religion. So just stay balanced. The Salaf used to say, like Al-Imam al-Sha'bi, one of the tremendous scholars of Al-Islam, when the people used to want him, come on, hang out with us. We're just going to hang out. We're going to drink some coffee and some tea and socialize. We just said, come hang out. He would say, okay, I'll hang out with you, but can you guys stop the sun from moving? You can stop the sun from moving. I'll come. I'll sit with you. Meaning, I don't have the time to hang out with the likes of you people. I don't have that time. You people are time wasters. You waste time. And you're wasting time with what? Qila wa qal. He said, she said, kethib. Stuff that's not beneficial. No. You have to be people. We have to be people who take care of these two things. So, ikhwani, if you guys have any questions concerning this issue, that the Muslim is the one the sheikh said about this hadith in the book, Al-Muslim la faragha indahu, la faragha lahu. The Muslim doesn't have any free time, meaning he's busy. The Salaf of this ummah, they were busy at times like this, learning and teaching. When they were together, they would make mudhakara. They were going back over the stuff and discussing between themselves. When they were eating, they were doing this. Probably one of the few times that they didn't do al-mudhakara and knowledge and things like that was they went into the toilet, akramakum Allah. Whereas the Americans and the Westerners, they put books in the toilet. They put newspapers in there. They would put their Bible in there. It's not okay. Muslim comes from America, comes from the West. That was our culture. And when you go into the toilet, in my mother's house, there are all kind of magazines. Ebony. Anybody know Ebony magazine in here? Nobody. Anybody know Jet magazine in here? Nobody. Yeah. All of those magazines are in the house. Sports Illustrated, in the bathroom, in the toilet. Why? Because while they're in there, they're doing that. Al-Islam showed us. Mm-mm. When you go into that place, you have to say something before going in there. There are jinn in there. Male and female, they can harm you, they can hurt you. Get in there and get out. Get in there and get out. You could do this in there, you can't do that. You can't pray in there, you can't do that. You have to watch the najasa. The Muslim's always going to be on top of these things because, as I mentioned, Al-Islam governs every part of our lives. So we'll open up the floor, ikhwani, inshallah, for any questions now. If you don't ask the question now, I got to get out of here. I got to roll out. Got to get back to Liverpool, inshallah. Any questions? We have a question here about the imam today. Read in Salat al-Isha, Surat al-Jum'ah. And in the Surat al-Jum'ah is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمَاةِ فَاسْعُوا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. If the adhan is made for Jum'ah, make a sa'i to the dhikr of Allah. So the two questions that came from up there or from the floor. Two questions. Number one, is it from the sunnah to read this surah tonight? And the second question is, what is the meaning of the sa'i? Does it mean to rush and hurry up to the salat of al-Jum'ah? This is not the sunnah. And the scholars of al-Islam, the scholars of the sunnah, who wrote books about innovation, for the innovations of Thursday night, they said from those innovations is reading for Salat al-Maghrib, Salat al-Isha, Salat al-Fajr, Surat al-Jum'ah all the time. Because today is Jum'ah, the next day is Jum'ah. It's not haram, but if you do it all the time, it's something that shouldn't be done. Because the Prophet didn't do that, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. So that's not from the sunnah. If a person is reading it because he memorized it, he wants to read it, he likes the surah, then no problem. But to do it all the time, it should be changed up. As for this other issue, as-sa'i, if my memory serves me correctly, somebody, Nuruddin, check this for me if you could find an English Quran in Surah al-Jum'ah. If my memory serves me correctly, they translated this in English. Even the best translations, I think, Allahu A'lam. They translated it, hasten to the dhikr of Allah, hasten to the Jum'ah. And that's a bad translation. That's not what this ayat is talking about. As-sa'i, ikhwani, it means to be in a hurry, to hurry up. It means to be in a hurry, to walk quickly. That's one of the meanings of it. But it doesn't mean that in this ayat. If the call is made to Jum'ah, make a sa'i. Hurry up and come to the masjid, get to the Jum'ah. It's not talking about that. And we know it's not talking about that because there's a prohibition from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about running and rushing to the masjid. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam, إِذَا أَتَيْتُمْ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدْ فَلَا تَسْعَوْا وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالسَّكِينَةِ وَالْوَقَارِ مَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَأَتِمُّوا. If you people come to the masjid, then don't rush, don't walk fast, don't run. But have sakina and waqar, be gentle, be easy, walk normally. When you get to the row, whatever you catch, you pray it with them. And whatever passed you by and you missed it, get up and complete it. He said that when some people, he heard them running in. And then after the salat, he told them this, don't run to the saf, don't do that. Take it easy, relax. So how can the ayah tell you, hurry up, hurry up? The ayah means as-sa'yu. As-sa'yu in this ayah means fas'au ila dhikrillah. Do the sa'i of the dhikrillah, the Jum'ah. It means get serious. Get serious about the dhikr. Close up your shop. Get ready. Put everything on the back burner. Put everything behind you. Do the necessary work in order to come and do this Jum'ah, which is from the Sha'air of al-Islam. And the delil of that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَهُوَ سَعَى لَهَا وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Anyone who wants to hereafter, anybody who wants to go to the Jannah, and he made the necessary sa'a, that word, he did the actions and the work for the Jannah, and he is a believer, then his sa'i, his efforts, his works will be mashkura. Allah will be shakir, grateful, thankful for what he did. So this ayat is not talking about doing quick works. Whoever wants the akhirah, and he made the sa'i. He was quick. It's not talking about that. Has another meaning. Sa'i here means you went out to do something. I need some help, so one of you came with me. That's sa'i. What did it say? What translation is that? One of the later ones, right? Yeah, see, these people, the later translations are much better. But I remember Yusuf Ali, because that was my understanding from that ayat a long time ago. Hasten to the remembrance of Allah. And this is a ni'mah on you brothers, you young brothers, English-speaking people, that now you can get a translation of the Quran, this international version, and this, what's the other one? What's the other translation? Noble Quran, Muhsin Khan. They're going to put in parentheses what Ibn Kathir said, what this one said, what that one said. We didn't have that. We had Yusuf Ali's translation. It was all kind of drama in that book. May Allah forgive us and forgive him. He tried. But that's what we had at our disposal. You people have this smartphone. You just go in there and you say whatever you're looking for according to the Quran and the Sunnah. Whatever you're looking for according to the Quran and the Sunnah. That's a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Any more questions, ikhwani? Tafadda ya akhi. Huh? Tafadda. Is it permissible to make wudu on top of the shoe? Yeah, it's permissible because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as the companion said, kana yamsahu ala tasakhin. He used to wipe on the tasakhin, and the tasakhin kama tasma' comes from the word sukhin or sakhin, and that means to be hot. Anything that makes your feet hot, meaning protect it. Anything. Socks, wool, leather, shoes, boots, whatever. Said that he used to wipe on the tasakhin, and it could be your shoe other than that. Plus, in addition to that, Ali ibn Abi Talib made wudu, wiped on his shoes, wiped on them, went to the masjid, took his shoes off, and went inside of the masjid and he prayed. Radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Muqbil, rahmatullahi alayhi, has a book called As Salat in the Ni'al, or something like that. And it's in English and it's a PDF. And he brings all of those narrations. Like the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَالِفُ الْيَهُودَ وَصَلُّوا فِي نَعَالِكُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُصَلُّونَ فِي نِعَالِهِمْ. Be different from the Jews and pray in your shoes because they don't pray in their shoes. Now from this hadith, you know, pray in your shoes means you're going to make wudu and you have your shoes on. Because who's going to pray without, make wudu without his shoes and then put his shoes on and then pray in his shoes? Who's going to do that? So there are a number of narrations that allow us to wipe on our shoes and to spread this sunnah, but spread this sunnah in a nice way with people who are around us, for ignorant people. Don't do that in front of them unless you have the ability to teach them and so forth and so on. Concerning the mesh in the wudu, the Nabi, if he had a imama, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes he would make wudu when he got to the head. He would just wipe it like this. And sometimes he would pick it up like this and wipe this part on. So it's permissible for a person to wipe on his imama. His imama. Not his kufi, not his gutra. You know the Saudi Arabian gutra? Not that. Not his hat. I saw some brothers, mashallah, they had these real nice, you know, hat like Khabib. You know where he comes from? Yeah, them Dagestani. You know them hats? If I could get my hand on one of those, I'd give the khutbah with that hat on, brother. You can't wipe on that. You have to wipe on the imama. And you don't have to put the imama on with wudu, like your sock. You can lose your wudu, wipe it, put the imama on, make wudu and wipe it like that. As for the woman, the khimar, she doesn't have to take her khimar off. She can wipe on the khimar just like that. She can put water on the khimar. If it's easy for her to take the khimar off, if it's easy for her, she do it. If it be with ni'mah, she can take it off. But if she has pins in it and all that stuff like that, she could just wipe on it. We know when the time that we can't pray based upon experience, some people know when the sun is at its zenith. Some people know that. I don't know. But I don't think it's like esoteric information. If the sun is at its zenith, you don't have a shadow, because every is directly over everything. And then as it gradually moves from that point, your body starts to throw the shadow. So you know it's before the zenith, is after the zenith. Same thing with Maghrib. People have experience. We don't know this because we lived all our lives around buildings and lights. So we don't know this, but there are people from this ummah, Arabs, Africans, and other than that, Asians, because of their environment, they can do that. In this issue, we are allowed to rely on technology. In this issue, we're allowed to rely on the technology that's available, which is a strong argument of the people who say, then why can't we determine Ramadan based upon the technology as well? That's a strong argument. That's a strong argument. I think we have to stop being those people who think we have to agree about everything. You guys know Ronnie O'Sullivan? Man, do you guys know Ronnie O'Sullivan or not? Ronnie O'Sullivan was talking the other day about, hey, man, I'm not going to do all of these tournaments. It's not fair on people like me. You know, I don't have to travel to China and come back, go back to China. He said, if they don't change these rules, I'm just going to do exhibitions. So the guy next to him, Steve Davis, was like, you can't do that. And he was upset with him right there on the TV. I said, alhamdulillah, I thought we were the ones who were the only ones acting like that. They did that. They were arguing. Hey, that's his point of view. That's your point of view. Relax. In the religion, take it easy. Now, again, the context doesn't mean everybody should be allowed this point of view. This one says homosexuality is okay. And that one says this is not okay. Yesterday, I went into my first gender-neutral bathroom, toilet. I saw people coming out. And I knew that's a toilet, and it came out, and I just went in. And it was clean, it was long, I went in. When I was coming, washing my hands, there was women coming in. And I thought when they saw me, they would, like, freak out. They didn't freak out. I was like, what's up with that? When I went out, I saw what happened. I thought, I went in, I looked, and it said gender neutral. First time in my life. And that's what we're going to be dealing with. We're dealing now, Ikhwani, we're done here. We're dealing with a time where a person sitting in front of you will say to you, don't call me, don't call me it, don't call me he, don't call me. Well, you want me to call you? And I'll just come up with a name right now. Call me sis. What does that mean? Don't worry about it. It's for me to know, it's for you to find out. And you have to respect me on that. This is the time we're living in. This sister, we're going to do her question, this last one, okay? But I can't read this. What is the difference between waqt and asr and sa'a? Waqt is the time, sa'a is an hour. It can be the time as well, but it can be an hour and it can be time. And asr can mean asr time, like after dhuhr, that time is asr time, or asr can be the whole time itself, time itself, all of time. They also said, how does one be patient individually and when, I can't really read that. Advice on Muslims who make or share Muslim move pages. What do you say to laymen who say that the good and leave the bad? Take the good and leave the bad. We'll deal with that, inshallah. So you write these a little bit clearer for me next time, and I'll deal with them.